grass, ganja, joint, doobie, doo, chronic, ace, lobo, loco, love boat, bud, buddha, blunt, pot, pat, pin, chiba, chiba, 420, and hashish, or hash for short. It's all marijuana.
This is Marijuana Media.
Come here, man.
Brought to you by The Hemp Store at 253 K Road or shop online at hempstore.co.nz.
Do it,
man. Deck man. What's up, Chris?
All right. Good afternoon. And hello to you.
Yes. And hello. John's here as well.
Hello to you, Chris.
Yes, I mean you in the plural sense.
No, I figured that much. I just thought I'd drag him on in there with that little.
How's it going at the hemp store, Chris? Is it sort of ticking over online? People.
Well, you know, I'm in the lockdown at home, and so I've got to say, just the warm glow of our lovely theme song there. It's like being enveloped in a blanket of goodness.
Right on.
I love it. I'm not going slightly stir crazy here at home. No, not at all. But
Rick James.
Yeah, the hemp store. We're closed, like all shops are. But we've got the website going, and we've got some core crew in there to keep the orders going out. So people can order on our website, hempstore.co.nz, and also we do the click and collect. You know, like the big guys do. But yes, so you either give us a ring or you can book it through our site, and then you get a little appointment and come on in. All contactless and nice and safe and that kind of thing. So, so we're there for you if anyone needs anything. And if you know your way around our shop and you can't see what you're after on the site, then, you know, just give us a ring.
That's cool. That's rad.
Hey, Chris Fowley, just quickly, say the referendum passes and recreational cannabis becomes legal. Will you be able to sell bongs?
Or will there still be vases?
What will happen there is that a licensed premise, a retail outlet, will be able to be licensed to sell utensils and things as well. However, it's a bit unclear whether that means individual devices have to be approved as a utensil and then that's the one that they're allowed to sell, or whether it would be like a kind of category license that would let you sell any utensil. And certainly that's the case with alcohol, right? They don't have to specify every brand of alcohol they want to sell. They just get a liquor license and then sell what they want, and you know, within the rules of that license. So hopefully it's something like the former, because you don't really want to, I don't think you want a situation where every single item of paraphernalia, from a packet of papers through to a lighter, through to a tin or whatever, you know, it has to be approved by an official down in Wellington before a shop can sell it. I think that might be going a bit far. But that's one interpretation of how it's worded, but certainly the intent is there, is to regulate them and license them and do it properly and make them R20, in fact, it would be, under the referendum. And rather than at the moment, there's shops like us that really, well, I think we do a good job of following the rules and setting a good example, but, you know, not everyone's sort of doing that.
I was going to ask.
Part of the problem with it being a grey zone, I guess, and that's, you know, one of the things about bringing it into the light and having it properly regulated.
What is at the moment, do you need to be like a tobacconist to sell that sort of stuff, or can you just sort of sell whatever you like but within the guidelines?
Well, it's unregulated at the moment.
Right.
So is, you know, tobacco to an extent at the point of sale, in that there's no license to sell tobacco. It's the license is on the distributors.
I see.
And the retailers, the government doesn't even know who they are, because those retailers don't have to get licenses. Consistency is a good thing, eh? We could make it all consistent.
Now, Chris Fowley, we've got a couple more days up our sleeve before the general election. What does that mean for the cannabis referendum?
A whole extra month, in fact. Yeah, and that's the big news of the week. So with the change in the election date due to the COVID lockdown, or semi-lockdown, you know, the referendum along with it, both referendums, so that's October the 21st, and also means that the early and advanced voting, the overseas voting, all of that gets shifted back as well. And that was due to start fairly soon, in 2 weeks, in fact. That was going to be September the 2nd. So that all gets shifted back as well. So I think it's a good thing overall. I mean, not only just the reasons the government's put forward, that it's not really fair and right to have an election in the middle of all this, but we don't need to delay it too much, and hopefully, you know, But in terms of us as a campaign and even just for general awareness and understanding,
I think
of
it's
the
good. I think it's a good thing.
Yeah.
I think four more weeks is good. Four more weeks we can convince people that just texted in, like this chap here that says, come on, guys, stop kidding yourselves. You know the marijuana referendum will not pass. There are too many people that think it will be bad for New Zealand. Well, it's our job to convince those people otherwise. Text in.
That is exactly right. That's a bit of a defeatist attitude.
Right on. Yeah, actually, scrolling down a bit, I'm saying that there's a few little troubling texts from this person where they're just sort of down in a bit of a dump. Hey, just cheer up. Maybe a cup dots. You'll be right.
That's the one. I'm not sure what you mean, but yes, right. The thing is the polls are not all gloom and doom. We get the odd one that shows us trailing, but by and large, they show the yes vote leading, and all year the trend in all the polls has shown the yes vote increasing, and the average of average, when you do them all out, we are on track to win. So the thing is to not get despondent or get kind of put off, but it is going to be really, really close. Yeah. I'm not saying that we're comfortably home in that.
We've got to show up.
We've got to show up. That's
it.
That's right.
That is how we win this. We just got to show up. Please, everybody, just show up.
Chris Fowley, in your mind, what are the top three benefits of legalizing cannabis?
We're recognising something that already exists in New Zealand, and instead of treating a whole bunch of people like they're second class and having the forces of the state directed against them and all the little things that happen in people's lives to do with cannabis, instead of that, we're recognising actually that's an adult choice that you can make, and here's some rules on that, and then what you want to do is up to you, and so having that kind of it's a bit like growing up almost. It's having an adult relationship with the state as opposed to just being treated like a second-rate person. So there's that. The general safety and bringing things in control and so that you know what you're taking, there's that as well, the consumer safety aspect. In my work with Normal over the years, the number of people who have been, accidentally poisoned through additives and chemicals, but also police spraying, and through to accidentally having the wrong doses and edibles and things like
moldy
that.
Weed.
Sort of negative behavior around it. It doesn't need to be there, and we can make things a lot safer and healthier for people. And third benefit, there's a huge number of jobs and things that are involved. And in Colorado, this was a thing that came out this week, and in fact, Stuff have covered it in an article saying what was it called? Something about the experience overseas, and they looked at a whole lot of countries, and I can bring it up here. What happened in other places that legalized it, in fact, is the snappy headline, and that is on Stuff CoNZ. And so Colorado, 5 years, similar population to New Zealand, about 5 million people, and
they've shut down Colorado. It didn't work, and everything's totally broken. Is that what happened? Or?
The opposite. So $1 billion in tax revenue and creating 40,000 jobs.
I mean, sorry, $1 billion in tax revenue and 40,000 jobs.
But it's wacky backy.
40,000 right. Jobs, yeah. Similar population.
So it's directly applicable to here, Same population as here. And if you think about it, those jobs, a lot of them kind of already exist, but they're on the illicit side of the economy, if you know what I mean. And that tax revenue, that's money that floats around and goes to organized crime and things like that. Not all of it, but a big chunk of it.
Mm.
And so again, I think that's got to be number three is taking care of that.
Right on, right on. That was a nice little sequence, actually. Trilogy of answers.
Chris.
One more thing, just a couple of other media things that I did just want to note. The spin-off covered this claim about, think we're no longer criminalizing people for using cannabis? Think again. And because this is often a claim, particularly by the likes of the former national spokesperson, Paula Bennett, of course, is very fond of saying that no one ever gets arrested anymore. Turns out, according to the latest stats just out, 2019, this is since the new law supposedly decriminalising cannabis too, or decriminalising all drug possession and use, I should say, since then, 5,740 charges for cannabis offences, 59% of them were just for possession or use. So there's so-called decrim for you.
Plenty of time wasted.
Absolutely. It's astounding. It's absolutely
just
astounding.
On that, Chris, I just wanted to get back to what we were talking about the other day, the testing that's coming out, which is a good thing, keeping people safe on the roads and whatnot. But I'm really curious to give one of these tests a hoon. Is there any way we can get hold of one or two and then I can see I can just sort of give it a go and tell everybody what the vibe's like, or, you know, whether or not I pass on, whether I think I should pass and things like that. I'd like to give it a go and see whether my levels are just baseline quite high or whatever, you know. I'm really curious.
Well, mate, I've got to say the most accurate test is the one that they already do, and it's going to be part of the new regime that comes in next year. You know, whether or not the referendum passes or not, this is still coming in.
Walking
and
the line.
And that's what they call the walk the line field sobriety test. So
I really want to do the swap. I really want to do the swap.
Well,
I walk the line all the time. That's how I got in the studio.
Here's the thing. So that test is the most accurate, and it's one that anyone can actually do at home and practice just for fun. But also the swab, which will be the step before that, that's like non-evidential. It's just a way of screening whether they're going to get you to walk the line. So that swab, that hasn't been decided yet, and that's going to be calibrated to actual levels of impairment that are equivalent to the alcohol drink driving levels.
That's why I'm curious to give it a go. That's why I'm really curious to give it a go, see if I
the government
where I'm at.
They don't have the swab yet, right? So they've either got to identify one or get someone to make
it. Won't it just be the one that they're using in Australia? Aren't they using one already in Australia?
Yeah, but they're not calibrated so well, and they're getting a lot of false positives and false negatives.
This is my concern. So when it does get calibrated and whatnot, do you think maybe we can get our hands on a couple? Or what?
Well, I'd like to hope so. You think so? I know that ESR is doing a little bit of work with the police on some sort of trial over developing it.
Okay. Oh, no, cool. I just thought it'd be interesting. So it's just for the listeners,
sort of me give it a hoon and
let you know what it's like.
I think we'll put the feelers out and we'll try and get hold of maybe a few and see if there's, even if it's not the one they're using. And
we can test John out. John's pretty clean, squeaky clean. See what comes up on John Boy.
No dirt on
me. It's very topical too. So I was just going to say, it's very topical because the ODT, Otago Daily Times, they've been running a series all week about workplace impairment and these sorts of issues.
Okay,
And you know, which a lot of people, particularly small business owners, could be quite worried about and thinking, ooh, legalise it, they're all going to be, ooh. And I think the real message there, which the Drug Foundation was getting across in some of these articles in the ODT, was actually that side of things doesn't change. Your employment contract's still there and the Health and Safety of Work Act, and they're all still there. Your health and safety policy stays there. It's just that maybe instead of having a pee in a cup as a way of detecting people, you know, which doesn't measure impairment, so it actually fails to do the stated aim.
That's more of an aim measurement.
So instead of that, it's about developing a good culture and that. So, you know, you don't need to test people for alcohol every day that they go to work. People just have a culture of knowing that you don't turn up first.
Right.
And so that's really the solution to that. It's not anything to get kind of worried about thinking that it's an overly complicated issue.
In my experience, it's usually jobs where it requires you moving heavy machinery, or if you're like a nurse or something like that, you know, like...
Well, that's where it should be limited to those safety-sensitive ones. And, in fact, that's a Supreme Court case that provides guidance on that, is with Air New Zealand. And it limited random drug testing to only the safety-sensitive ones. Gave the examples within Air New Zealand as the engine dismantlers, and specifically said it wasn't the ground crew or the pilots.
Oh, yeah.
So if a pilot doesn't count as safety sensitive, then if you apply it to your workplace, it shows that the bar's actually quite high. If anyone ever went to court over that Supreme Court case would tend to err on the side of the employee if they weren't in the equivalent to being an engine dismantler on a jumbo jet.
Right on. Somebody's giving a little nod to a cup dots here. Another person telling the other person to go back to talk back and piss off. look, we do need to get out and vote, everyone. That's it. So if you
however you're going to vote, just get out and have your say.
That's
but
it.
Vote yes.
That's it. Yeah, just come on. Right Think on. About Big Hungry and his needs as well.
Yeah. All opinions are welcome. All opinions are welcome.
Right on, Chris. Hey, take care, mate. We will catch you next week.
All right. Nice one.
Peace.
Bye.
Yeah.
Do it, man.
That was Marijuana Media.
Thanks to The Hemp Store. Visit them at 253 K Road or shop online at hempstore.co.nz. I'm in love with